My friends are here,
and you're all my friends. And we are gathered here on this bright and beautiful, almost, Sunday morning that the Creator has given us. Our Lord loves us so much that He has given us a beautiful morning. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes. Yes, it's true. Think of the glory of it. Think of how much the Lord loves us. And that in this church, brethren, we are the chosen people. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah, brother.
Now, thank you. Kind of overdid it there. No, please don't leave anybody this. And please excuse this little piece of drama. You haven't walked into the wrong church, and don't think I've gone crazy on you or that I intentionally disrespect any other preacher's preaching style. My mother's father, my grandfather, was a Pentecostal holiness minister. He died when I was a teenager, but I do remember on a couple of occasions going to his church on Park Street and listening to him and others preach. The service revved up often to a chaotic pitch, wild, noisy, and in some ways threatening. And I think I may still have a scar from that. Living with my other grandparents, I attended Eau Claire Baptist Church, and then, after that, as a Seventh-day Adventist, as influenced by my stepfather. I particularly remember the Adventist preacher that we were exposed to the most. His name was the Reverend Harold Williams. And he said, all I really needed to do to live my life was to make God the center of that life. He described that God as one who had more power than the president and who shared that power with his son and something else called the Holy Spirit, which I never really did quite understand. He talked about heaven as this glorious place that I could go to if I came regularly to his church and I believed what he taught me. And then later on, I learned that I had to regularly give money, which I suppose was like buying a ticket to get in. He said you had to pray at least once a day and hope that what you prayed for coincided with the will of this almighty God being that he talked about. I learned that praying meant like kind of talking to God and asking him for things. And you also had to thank him for the good things that happened, though I never really knew who to thank or who to blame for the bad things that went on. I also never quite figured out how that God that he was describing, how he as one entity, as one person, could listen to so many people's prayers in the world, and how he could even hear their silent thoughts from so far away, and how he could understand what each of them was asking for, and how he could make the decision as who to answer and who to not, and who deserved what. Well, it's been a lot of years since I really believed what the Reverend Harold kept preaching from that big pulpit. And really, I guess I must admit that my mama started it all. From the time I was a little dirty-faced kid, she told me stories. Stories out of the Bible, fantastic stories. Stories about a woman giving birth with no help from a man. Stories about some guy getting killed and coming back to life again. Stories about one other guy building a boat large enough to carry samples of all the animal species, all the species on this ginormous planet. And it wasn't until later that I started wondering about that big boat. You know, how big was it? How big did it have to be to carry all those animals? And I wondered whether the lambs got along with the wolves and whether he had every species of cockroach and who cleaned up the mess when they all had to go to the toilet at the same time. Well, at that time, we'd go to this big church. And not always, but sometimes we'd do something called communion, which was eating and drinking someone's body and blood. Well, I knew it wasn't real. I knew it was more symbolic and make-believe, but I didn't totally get it then, or I guess I still don't now. So that was when I was a kid. And in retrospect, I consider that my mama was God when I was young. at least in my local context. And whatever she said must be true, because what kid's mama wouldn't tell him anything that wasn't true? My dad died when I was a baby, so I had no opportunity to compare their stories about good and bad, or good and not good. It evidently took me longer than most to reach the age of abstract thinking, where I had amassed enough declarative knowledge to where I could do my own compare and contrast and figure things out for myself. As I got into college and approached adulthood, I kind of floated along, half believing, half not believing, half wondering. No, that's three halves. But anyhow, half wondering. When about my third year of teaching college, and I was of attending college, and I was in a Christian college at the time, I began to pull away from organized religion. It was a pretty abrupt change, realizing that the God we were all worshiping was not omnipotent and omnipresent and never answered prayers the way you ask. The excuse being that it was just arbitrary and whatever his will was. So what am I going to do at this time, since I'm starting to fall away from that? Well, for a few minutes I said, wait a minute, I must be an atheist. And then I found out what that really meant. And so I was an atheist for probably no more than 5 minutes. Until it dawned on me that if you're going to be an atheist and not believe in God, then you do have to believe in something else. And then's when I discovered the word agnostic. So what do other people believe in? What do I believe in? The agnostic definition was something I could live with a little better. And it made more sense, because I could always say, I don't know. I don't know. Don't ask me that question, because I don't know. And I could be satisfied with that. The term agnostic was more or less a matter of definition and a matter of debate. It was coined by Thomas Huxley about 150 years ago. He called it the doctrine that humans cannot know of existence of anything beyond the phenomena of their experience. Bertrand Russell said, man is the product of causes which he had no prevision of the end they were achieving, that his origin, his growth, his hopes and fears, his loves and his beliefs are but the outcome of an accidental arrangement of atoms in the universe. Well, I contend that we all believe in God. The God, a God, someone, something that answers all the questions that we have, that agnostics have. There's got to be answers there somewhere. The 1925 Scopes monkey trial, remember that? No, you weren't there, but I mean, remember that. That was before my time, but there was a movie called Inherit the Wind, came out about 1960. And that movie was an embellishment of that trial, which resulted in John Scopes' conviction for teaching Charles Darwin's theory of evolution in his science class in high school. But he couldn't do that because that was really against Tennessee state law. Now, in the movie, if you haven't seen this movie, you really need to see it. William Jennings Bryan is depicted as a pompous windbag, a stammering yet somehow credulous believer in the literal accuracy of every word in the Bible. Now, here's some of the script from that movie with Clarence Darrow, who was played by Spencer Tracy, and he was questioning William Jennings Bryan, played by Frederick March. So Tracy answers him, yes, have you given considerable study to the Bible? You have, haven't you, Mr. Bryan? And then there's a whole bunch of dialogue in here, which I'll skip through. But anyhow, he asks that question. You've given a whole bunch of study to the Bible, and you believe it all. Yes, I do. And do you believe that Eve, for example, was literally made out of Adam's rib? Well, yes, I do. And did you ever discover where Cain got his wife? Well, no, sir. I leave that to the agnostics to figure out. Well, anyhow, this kind of thing went on. And after that routine goes on for a while, there's another face-off with another question to Brian. Those questions were about how long the day was when God created the earth in 7 days. Was it really a 24-hour day? Was it, what was it? And Mr. Brian's answer was, I think it would be just as easy for the kind of God we believe in to make the earth in 6 days, or 6 years, or 6 million years, or 600 million years. I do not think it important whether we believe one or the other. Then there was this discussion about the snake and about how the cursed snake moved around before he was confined to walking on his belly. Well, there was really no conclusion there either. It's just back and forth discussion. Then there were questions about the flood and the rainbow and so forth and so on. But the synthesis of this conversation then is that William Jennings Bryan believed what he believed just because he unquestionably believed it and felt he did not have to defend it. So what is a belief? Well, a belief is an idea that a person holds as being true. A person can base a belief on certainties like principles of physics or mathematics. Those are certainties. A person can base belief on probabilities. Well, I think this is probably going to happen, so it might, so I believe it. A belief can come from a person's own experiences or their own experiments. It can come from acceptance of cultural and societal norms, like an established religion, or it can even come from what other people say, like what you learn in school, or what your mentor, or what your parents tell you. So, to say this again, a person can base what he believes on simple faith, maybe just an unfounded faith, maybe just because you believe your mother, or your pastor, or whatever, or whoever. You can do that. Unfounded faith. In choosing what to believe, you find there are often no clear choices. Shall I be a Republican or shall I be a Democrat? Shall I have Rocky Road ice cream or shall I have Moose Tracks? Shall I believe what the preacher tells me or what my own reasoning tells me? I get into conversations with a Methodist friend who says he'll stay with the Methodist Church because that's where he's been. That's where his family's been. That's where they'll always been. That's where they'll always be. So, I believe it and I want to stick with it. I have a friend who's a Seventh-day Adventist of the fifth generation, and she says that she is going to believe that forever because she couldn't possibly believe anything else, fearing that she'd go blind or or lose her sense of reasoning or whatever. Get struck by lightning. So the big question is your choice about what to believe your own? Yes. Secondary question, is your choice of what to believe ever final? Well, maybe so, maybe not. Think about how many times in your life, well, I think about mine, that you have changed your mind about what you believe. About how you perceive God or how you answer the mysteries of the universe, that's up to you. Most of us here have chosen to be Unitarian Universalists. We have thrown in with a group of folks who live outside the mainstream, outliers in that scattergram of society's religions. Now, here's some bewildering questions that require some thought about where you're going with your own beliefs. Where were you before you were born? Officially born. Where do you go when you die? How big is the universe? And when did it begin? And what was there before it began? What about time? When did time begin? And what was there before that? I personally don't really believe the Big Bang Theory because it doesn't explain what there was before that Big Bang. I have a problem with that, with my finite mind. So the point is, you're never going to have all the answers. All you may know is theories. Big Bang is a theory. Any kind of creation stories, where we came from, theories, that's as far as you can go. Try asking somebody if they really believe what their religion taught. This is a fun thing to do. Do you really believe what your religion taught? And in all honesty, they might say, well, not really, but what are the options? And if you continue asking what they believe and what they do, and you might get this answer. I have to admit that I really not sure I don't believe that, but I just do. I just do. I just believe it. So the bottom line is everybody's got to be somewhere. Not to believe is to believe. Not to decide is to decide, yada, yada, yada. So you have to be somewhere. You have to believe something. So choose what you like. Maybe all that counts is that we take care of each other and pay no never mind to those things that make no sense. What my mother said, what any of the religions say, what William Jennings Bryan said, those things no longer work for me. Now, please don't think that I'm bad-mouthing organized religion, because I don't mean to. Everybody does have to be somewhere. But you need to be somewhere that works for you. If it works, if it makes you happy, if it fulfills your life intellectually and spiritually, then go for it. I suppose you can even argue that those who have a belief system that they accept blindly by tradition, family, culture, maybe they're ahead of those of us who don't really know what we believe. And we admit it, that we don't have all the answers. Maybe they're ahead. Maybe they're better off. Some religions have a home base like sacred writings or an established and revered tradition. But for us Unitarian Universalists, our primary authorities are our life experiences and the reasoning powers of our own intellect. We love this church, the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Columbia. Linda and I discovered you in November of 2012 when we were looking for the phone book, through the phone book, for churches to sample and to explore. We started at the back of the alphabet and we found you. On our first Sunday here, we heard the Reverend Dr. Neil Jones define faith as something you have in yourself, in your right and your ability to choose your own path and to answer your own questions. And I tell you, we were hooked from the first day. Here in this church, we have friends, colleagues, supporters, and pals who have become integral parts of our lives. There are the Bobs, the Dons, the Toms, the Tims, the Marks, the Phils, the Bills, the Rons, the Rods, the Lindas, the Jennies, the Carols, the Jessicas. Here there are Jews, Buddhists, Christians, pagans, and atheists. There are doctors, lawyers, plumbers, professors, accountants, psychologists, electricians, and computer geeks. There are musicians that translate music to the soul. I love this place. God is here, however you perceive him or her. The God of humanity, the God of wisdom and insight, the God I define as that set of answers to questions for which there are no other answers. Peace and brotherhood, love and compassion, our Unitarian Universalist seven principles, that's what works for me. live long and prosper, go in love, go in peace. Amen.